All right. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ava Joy and Bernie and Rock in the back. Let's just take a moment and turn to your neighbor and say, it is a blessing to be with you today. You're probably like, oh no, he's going to become one of those pastors. But it's good. It's good to connect for just a moment. Hallelujah? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, today we are continuing to work our way through what are the most significant teachings of Jesus flowing out of his backstory into Matthew 5, 6, and 7, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And so if you have your Bibles, we can turn to Matthew 5 today. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, 683, the words will be on the screen behind me. And today we're picking it up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And so let's go ahead and read, and then we'll pray, and then do what we do and get to work. Jesus here, he is speaking. He says, we read, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to each one in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day that we are so blessed to be able to gather together, to share in the presence of one another and in the presence of you, Lord. And as we now dive into these words that you have spoken, may these words dive into us, and may it penetrate our hearts and our minds. And when we leave here today, may we be other than when we first came in. And so as always, Lord, I would now ask you would be in and under and over all through my words, that I would speak your heart. And together we, in the name of Jesus, pray and we say, amen. So by way of context here, just for a moment, Jesus, he is up on the mountainside with all of its allusions to Moses up on Mount Sinai. Jesus, his disciples, his followers, his Talmudim gathered around. Jesus begins his teaching where the Torah left off, with Moses and, by way of remembrance for some, Parsha Vezot HaBerha, where it reads, and this is the blessing, Asher Berak Moshe Ish HaElohim, that Moses, the man of God, and then it says, pronounced, although that's from the Hebrew Berak, which means blessed. And so again, this is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, blessed. And then here in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing Jesus speaks is this series of blessings. We could say the blessings that Jesus, the Son of God, blessed. What are, in the words of the scholar William Barclay, exclamations. These are congratulations on what is. Point being, it is a present reality. Right? It is a way of doing life that is in the here and now. A kind of life offering, in a sense, a kind of life that an outline of God's kingdom values. It's a way of living the teachings of Jesus. It's a kind of life that reflects the very heart of God. Keeping in mind again, and we said this before, but keeping in mind again, Jesus is speaking into a world. Into a world, a society, a culture, where it is military power, it is political control, it is economic exploitation, it is religious sanction, where the ruling elite intimidate and threaten and oppress and persecute. It's a world order that blesses those who have it all together, who have the credentials behind their name. We can think those of importance, those of significance, right? We can think those of power and wealth and rank and status and prestige. And Jesus, he steps into that and he says, no, no, no. And in essence, he flips the script here, and he says, no, it is to such as these, to those with no influence, those with no power, those with no status, to the poor, to the broken, to the oppressed. He says, my kingdom is for them. My kingdom is falling on them. And with that, then calling us to a very different way of doing life. And we can think back over these past weeks to the Beatitudes. What is a way, a path, a paradigm that bends toward justice, that engages others with kindness and goodness and generosity and mercy and compassion? It's a way that walks in the path of peace, that seeks to understand, right? To get right inside another, to see, to feel, to think, right? From another's perspective, right? That brings the presence of all good things to bear on others. A way that is oriented to welcoming all to the table. And to those, Jesus says, to those doing that way of life, he says, you are the salt of the world. To those doing that way of life, he says, you are the light of the world. What is, we could say, Jewish shorthand for living the Torah. Noting that salt and light refer to the Torah. Salt referring more specifically to the salt of the covenant. We find it in Leviticus 2 and 13, the Torah, the Jesus backstory, Leviticus 2 and 13. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant of your God be lacking from your grain offering. It says, with all your offerings you shall offer salt. From Numbers 18 and 19, it is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord, for both you and your offspring. Point being, from Eitz Chaim, which is translates to tree of life, we read there, it says, salt is considered as the most necessary condiment, and therefore the rabbis likened the Torah to it. For, as it says from Sofarim 15 and 8, which is one of the minor tractates of the Talmud, for just as the world cannot do without salt, so too the world cannot do without the Torah. And into that, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, he says, you are the Torah. He says, you are the active expression of the Torah. He says, you are the values of the Torah. Again, as we find them here, as he has presented them in the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, right here and now, right where we live, whenever we bend toward justice, whenever we embrace others with kindness and goodness and generosity and mercy and compassion, whenever we walk in the way of peace, whenever we get right inside another's skin, whenever we bring the presence of generosity, bring the presence of God's goodness, bring the presence of all good things to bear on others, opening up the doors and the windows and say, all are welcome at the table, which is why he then goes on and he says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, again, think your active expression of the Torah. Your active expression of Torah, but if the salt loses its saltiness, can it be made salty again? Right? Because at that point, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's the same idea we find in James 2 and 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And then Jesus goes on and he says, you know what? I've got another sort of metaphor here. Let me give you another kind of an example. And he says, you are the light of the world. Noting it's in the same way here as we read in Proverbs 6 and 23, it's the same as salt. For this command is a lamp, this teaching, it says, is a light. Noting command here comes from the Hebrew mitzvah, often translated as commandment. But to perform a mitzvah is considered to, is this idea of doing a good deed. It's to do a good deed. And then also here it says, this teaching is a light. This teaching is actually the Hebrew word Torah, often translated as law, but it means instruction. I think a better understanding is not law, but instruction. It's guidance. It's teaching. And so we have a mitzvah, right? A good deed is a lamp, and it's the Torah, right? The Torah is light. Jesus says not to be hidden, not to be tucked away, but so that others may receive. In essence, then, in the same way that you, right, put a lamp on a stand, in the same way you let your mitzvot, your good deeds, shine before others so that others may see, and in this way you will glorify your Father in heaven. From Rabbi Yehuda Alter, he says, doing a mitzvah is like lighting a candle before God. It is preparing a place where God's glorious presence can dwell. The mitzvot, the plural, become tools for opening our souls to God's light and spreading that light into the world around us. God's light illuminates the universe with, and we could say tzedek, right, with justice and righteousness. Each mitzvah we perform and each Torah text we study enables us to partner with God in shining that light through the world. And it's to those, again, Jesus says, those who are doing that way of life, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Right? You are the active expression of the Torah. You are the active expression of God's heart. As the story is told, following the death of her husband, Prince Albert, this was in 1861, Queen Victoria became known as the Widow of Windsor. She dressed in all black, wore a widow's cap. Her grief ran deep, so much so that she did not make a public appearance for 3 years. And as the story is told, it was then on one afternoon when, completely unannounced, she came to call on Mrs. Tulloch. Mrs. Tulloch was on her bed resting. She too had lost her husband and was now all alone, deep in grief. It says, when the Queen was announced, Mrs. Tulloch struggled to rise quickly from the couch and to curtsy, as would have been proper for her to do. But even more quickly, the Queen stepped forward. My dear, she said, don't rise, for I am not coming to you today as the Queen to a subject, but as one widow to another. And again, we can think that idea of kindness and goodness and generosity, mercy, compassion, getting right inside another's skin, right, bringing the presence of all good things to bear. It was Princess Elizabeth, later to become the Queen of Hungary, who became known for her deep compassion for the poor. And as her story is told, she often went in disguise, bringing bread to those in need. She went in disguise because her generosity and her charitable activity was looked down upon by the royal court. And as the story is told, one day while carrying food in her cloak, she was stopped by one of the noblemen and demanded to know what was under her cloak. As she opened it, appeared not bread, but a bouquet of roses. It became a sign to her and to those she was serving of God's blessing on her generosity. The historian and academic Alan Kreider, he gives us, I think, kind of this ancient picture of the early followers of Jesus living out their faith, living out this teaching of Jesus. We read, according to Tertullian, and this would have been the late second century, so this would have been those followers of Jesus about 150 years after his death and resurrection. According to Tertullian, the outsiders looked at the Christians and saw them energetically feeding poor people, caring for boys and girls who lacked property and parents, and being attentive to aged slaves and prisoners. For they, these outsiders, they interpreted those actions a work of love. And they said, Vide, look how they love one another. They did not say, Aude, listen to the Christian's message. They did not say, Lege, read what they write. Christianity's truth was visible, embodied by its members. And to those, Jesus says, who are doing life in that way, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, next week, we'll go on and I think it will give us a good sense of this connection with the Torah. But for today, I want to stop here just to consider, what about us? What about you and me? And maybe we could begin by thinking, how does the connection between salt and light and the Torah deepen my understanding of Jesus' words in this passage? And then with that, how does this challenge and confront my values and my actions, my activity? How does this connection deepen my understanding? How does it challenge and confront my values, my actions, my attitudes? And then as we wrestle with that a little bit, we can ask, am I living the paradigm of salt and light as described in the Beatitudes? Do I live this way of salt and light? How is God inviting me to be salt and light right where I am? Wherever I am. How is God inviting me to be salt and light right in that situation, in that circumstance, in that struggle? We can think here of Queen Victoria, right, in her time, her visiting with the widow Tulloch. Not as a queen, right, with power and status, but as a fellow widow, how might I enter into the lives of others with humility and compassion? How might I enter into others' lives with humility and compassion? We can consider the writings of Tertullian and ask, how will I embody the example of love through my actions? What will that look like? And then to close, and we'll sit here for a little bit in some stillness together and reflect, how will I live out Jesus' call to be salt and light in the coming week? How will I live salt and light this coming week? And how will I bring God's justice and mercy and compassion to those around me? Today, this afternoon, this week, this coming month, how will I live out Jesus' call to be salt and light, and how will I bring God's justice and mercy as compassion to those around me? Let's sit in stillness. You are, Jesus says, the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world.